Skype of Cthulhu presents a Delta Green scenario. A Victim of the Art by Dennis Detweiler.
All right, well, I guess we should get started and do a bit of a review for our, mostly for our listeners, since all three of you were here last time and have photographic memories.
Oh, indeed.
Of course.
So Max is going to go.
Oh, okay. I do recall that when we ended the scene, characters of Max and Randall driving back after Thomas Dengler had been offed with a pillow smothering.
He's put into sleep.
And hopefully Jim will upload that that other thing before someone listens to it, because they're going to go, what? Pillow smothering? What? 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 I missed that.
Yeah. Put him out of his misery.
And he was just about to go home, too.
So we reached the conclusion that these guys were murdering people while they were sleeping. So in their dreams, they were, you know, either invoking the Ajapa or becoming the Ajapa and, you know, killing people. Okay. So we got a list, right? We started already. And I guess we should continue doing our labor of love. Love.
Randall's had time to think about this for 2 weeks. He's a cold killer.
I just want to point out that Professor Hughes came up with this idea a long time ago.
Oh, humble brag from Jim, everyone. Yeah,
no, I don't think that was a humble brag. It's Marco is totally embracing Professor Hughes now. He's latched onto him. It's his new Mikey. Meanwhile, Frank Mason is hanging back, wondering what's going on with this crazy place called Delta Green. It's like first mission might be the last mission.
Just to recap what I have here in my notes from the 20th of August, which I think is about right. So you guys checked out the painting of the Lover of Klimt, which had a Mayan codex underneath. There was a Sancho Mendoza, who was a local Peruvian artist. And I believe Jim's character went over to this galleria called Mitzi's Gallerina, which is owned by Jorge Hines. Yep. And his father mentioned finding these. He told Jim's character, Sebastian Hughes, that his father had found the old painting and got the idea to paint over it with a Gustav Klimt. And then they gave the name of a local artist. And then I believe Randall's character went to the Penniman estate and actually got some information about that maybe a little earlier at the same time, and dealt with Agnes Penniman and Willie Penniman, and made a connection with Willie Penniman. And then I believe Frank Mason and Marco went to the clinic, the Swansea Clinic, just to ask Thomas Dengler some questions. And then at the end, Marco just said, excuse me for a minute, Frank.
Yeah, right? let me just preface that with, we went there with the intention of seeing who he gave the replica amulets to, because we had talked to Tim Giacomini, and he had a replica amulet, and Creepy Langford had one of the amulet replicas, and he said, you know, basically we wanted to find out if he had given any other replicas to people, see if maybe they were giving other people any power. And then I went and bought some pizza for Thomas Dengler.
Oh, that's right. You were the nice guy, unlike
And then I, little did I know that would be his last meal. And then some snazzy yacht club duds for Marco and myself for the party, which I think we're going to go to tonight, the yacht club party.
We gave that guy a call, and he was expecting the cool guys to show up. That's what he said. But we're not sure about that. I'm talking, we got two parties, right? Mm-hmm. So we got
right.
The party.
So the yacht club's tonight,
right?
Only. And then the Langford party is tonight and tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, boy. Oh, yeah.
And then, God. Ugh. And then...
if it's any consolation, out of all the times I've run this, only one player has liked Adam Langford. Just one. And that was Jim, who secretly PM'd me his fanboyism. Right, Jim?
Langford. All right. So, yeah, then we went and gave Thomas Dengler some pizza, talked to him a little bit, and then Marco just, you know, softly shuffled him off this mortal coil. and then we found out that there was the blacklight paintings. Woolsey Penman told us all about it, because I guess he's a little smarty pants and he knows everything about everything. So the Danglers had one, confirmed that, which we already knew. He had one, and then the dentists had one, which we had found out the previous session. And, yeah, they all had the Mayan Codex on it, and
right.
relating to the priest kings used in the South American summoning rituals. So, interesting. So I think we just have the party to go to tonight, but... Mm-hmm. It was also pointed out that the timeline of the creature attacks. So the first one was very late at night. The second one was around 8-ish to 9-ish at night.
Mm-hmm.
And if the pattern keeps following, then it should happen earlier tonight. So I don't know. What time is it now? I think it's early. It's late afternoon, right? So it's like 3, 4 o'clock already?
Yeah. The sun is not set. Which must be consoling to you.
Jeez.
So the first thing that we should do is give the professor a call. See if he can come back as soon as possible.
So before you do that in the first scene, I'm presuming Mason has had a minute or two to compose himself after taking it all in and being offered a cigarette. Does he want to say anything to Marco at this point, or hold off, or
No, Mason's just quiet. He's just going to be quiet the whole ride back.
All right, you call.
Which is very unnatural for him.
Call Mr. Huge.
All right, Professor, we need you here.
Agent Marco. I suppose I can return to Montauk. I think my business here in New York is done. Where will you and Agent Mason be?
Well, we have a couple of parties to attend to, but we think you were right, Professor, about your intuition about... how we needed to deal with this problem.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're finally coming to your senses.
So, why don't you come back to Montauk and we finish what you started.
What I started?
Yes, it was your idea.
Well, yes, but I certainly haven't acted on it yet.
It's just a matter of time.
Certainly, I suppose I will be, when is the first party you're going to?
I guess we're going to crush Sam Adams first, see how that goes, and then head to the kid's house.
Okay.
Adam Langford's party.
I see. So, well, it is a Saturday afternoon. Traffic here in the city is rather heavy, but I will be out there as quickly as I choose as I can.
Oh, Freudian slip.
Yeah, we need you here as soon as possible, Professor. We need to you know, finish our plan, your plan, and then leave. We got a tail.
Understood. I will be there.
All right. I'll hang up and turn to look at Mason, who is very quiet. What is happening, Mason? If you don't like the station, just change it.
No, no. It's fine, Agent Marco. It's fine. I'm just taking it all in.
Remember why we are here, right? We're here to fulfill our duty to humanity.
We're here to figure out and stop murders.
That's one way to put it.
Look at Marco over long and then continue smoking my cigarette and just watch the road.
Nice.
All right. So we're going to go to some of them first.
Real quick, did you share the breakdown of your handler with any of the other agents, Marco, or are you keeping that to yourself just like the other thing?
No, I'm still... I think I spoke with Mason about Marcus cracking up last time he called.
Okay, because when you spoke with Marcus and him breaking down, he indicated that you might be the new you might be a temporary handler while he's away.
Yeah, he said that, but I don't know anything about this handler business, so I will keep it for myself for now. All right. So I wanted actually, you know, as soon as I have a chance, I would like to get into the FBI database and see if Marcus is right or if it is just paranoia kicking in. If the FBI is behind us and, you know. Because he said that he was, you know, trying to cool things down with the FBI and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that he was.
You want to call Marcus while you're driving?
No. I, you know, as soon as I get a chance, I would like to get a computer, get into the FBI network, mm-hmm. and do a search to see if they're sending agents here. If they're sending, you know, setting up an investigation.
Okay. And where are you planning to go? I mean, you know that the sheriff's office has a computer hooked up for you, a very high-tech desktop, I might add. One of those big monitors, you know, big as a TV.
So, I'll tell Mason that we need to make a stop.
Okay, Marco.
Verify a few things before we go.
And I think, Jim, your character's driving to meet up with them, so you're roughly 2 hours behind them is the idea. Is that right?
After the gallery, I went back to Wu and collected all of the charms. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think I'm done in the city. So I won't be in too big a hurry, but I will make my way towards...
Okay.
Back to Montauk.
Okay, sure. So without much incident, you get to the sheriff's office. And you go in, and the sheriff's niece is kind of there. It looks like she's on the phone, and she waves to you as the two of you come in, and you guys go into your back area, and your computer's there, and you load it up. It's really fast. It takes like 5 minutes to load up. Come on, and everything, and you can make a computer use roll to start going through FBI files, though that's going to be a hard check, I would say, at half.
Okay.
You do have a bunch of clue chips, though, so you can keep rolling as needed.
Yeah, let me try that. I got a high computer use, so. It's a failure, so I'm going to use a clue sheet.
Okay.
And the second one is a pass.
Okay.
32, right? Out of 70. Out of 76.
So this probably takes you some time. So I'm wondering, does Mason want to do anything privately before I give Randall's character an answer? Because he's probably spending like an hour and a half on this, trying to break through into the FBI materials.
Yeah.
You want to call anyone?
Yeah. Exactly. I will stay there for about 10, 15 minutes, you know, maybe get a little cup of coffee and hang out with Marco. I'm sure he looks pretty involved. Marco, I can go out and grab some dinner. You want some dinner? That way we can eat while you're working, and then we'll head out to the parties after.
Sure.
Cool.
Give me something.
Any dietary constraints?
No, not really.
Okay.
Well, whatever you're going to have, I'm going to have the same.
Okay, cool. And I'll head on out.
Okay.
And I will go and get some food and order some food. I don't know what's in the area, but I'll just go to, I don't know, some sort of diner, if they have diner
sure.
or something. Something just generic. Just get a couple of sandwiches.
I'm sure there's a Denny's.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's also Joe's, which is really popular.
Joe's?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'll go to a Joe's.
Okay.
Why not?
You can see there's some public phones off to the side, and there's fairly a lot of people in here because of the tourist season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I still have my cell phone in the car, so I guess I'll just go up, I'll order the sandwiches, and then I'll say I'm going to be outside. I'll come pick up the food in a little bit. Thank you, and I give him a fat tip.
Sure.
And and then I'll go to my car and I will call Marcus.
Okay. There's a period where it's ringing several times. And you almost think he's not going to answer, and then you hear a tired voice say, "Marcus."
Mason.
Hello, young agent. What can I do for you today? And you can hear him smoking.
Well, I don't want to go above my pay grade here, Marcus, but I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared. I think Professor Hughes and Marco have gone sociopathic. I don't know what to do here.
What do you base this on?
Well, Hughes is talking about killing everyone. Anyone that's been involved with certain particulars on the case that I would take too long to explain right now. And Marco just killed a kid last night.
Okay, there's a pause, and Marcus says to you, "I think I can trust you, Mason. I think I can trust you a lot. So I'm not even going to ask you for any details as to why you think they're psychopaths, but I am going to give you access to something that I haven't given them access to. So real quick, before I do this out of character, I'm putting this out to the three of you. There's a lot of different directions this could go. One of these directions possibly could be... I'm pretty sure you guys are cool with this, having listened to Dark Side Dogs. If you fellow agents turn on each other in some way, is that okay with you, or would that ruin the ending for the group, just from a player angle? Are you guys okay with that if it goes in that direction, or are you more like, I want to know what happens in the investigation and resolve that, right?
Well, I just assume that we're going to turn on we'll turn on each other at some point regardless.
it could happen
regardless of what the keeper may or may not want.
Okay. I'm just checking to make sure it's okay, you know, because sometimes someone's like, oh, I wanted my character alive, or I wanted to go here, right? So I just want to get clear on expectations. So are people okay with that? It doesn't have to go in that direction. I'm just asking if it goes in that direction, are the three of you okay with that?
I'm down for whatever.
Before I start giving information. So, okay, back to the scene. So first off, he says, have you heard of the Green Box?
I think that was some crazy stuff that Molotov was talking about. I did not know what he meant.
Molotov, such a fine agent until he cracked. He was really one of our best. It is nearby, back in New York City, but there are things in there that you could use to... take care of your agents if you think they've lost it. Another option, of course, is to ally yourself with the FBI, who are actually showing up. You seem flipping through some papers. Well, I suppose they're there right now. They just haven't announced themselves. Sorry. Oh. I tried to slow them down, but my son, he's in college, and he called me, and I was busy for the last 6 hours.
Well, no.
I hope you understand.
Family first. Thanks for letting me know. Does it say how many FBI agents are here or coming?
He flips through some papers and he says, well, I'd imagine they'd have half a dozen or more, depending on if they think it's going to get violent, I suppose. But I believe they're coming down to investigate your people, but I think they're there. And he's flipping through some papers saying, well, if they're not there, they're almost there, or they're on their way, or maybe they took a boat and drowned. Maybe you'll be fine. Maybe you won't. Maybe we're all going to die sooner than we think. Long puff on the cigarette.
Marcus?
Keep trusting Marcus, Mason. Keep trusting Marcus.
Marcus, you just get some rest and take it easy.
I need one more thing, and I need you to take this very seriously, Mason. I need you to temporarily be the handler of MSL. I really have to speak to my son. And like you said, family first.
And so what does that entail? Because isn't MSL just we three?
I'll fax some things over to you, but just let them know that you're in charge now. And you make the decisions through me. We've got a fourth in the works, but that agent has not replied yet to multiple queries. And out of game, that would be Brad's character for whenever he shows up. We have some friendlies, too. We're not just the three of you and me. I could get my son to join. He's 18 now. He won't know he's in Delta Green, but doesn't matter.
Okay, Marcus, you take care of what you got to take care of. I'll handle it.
And if things go really bad, remember that there are hundreds of islands in the Bahamas, and a lot of those islands, it's hard to be traced. And you can change your identity there, and people won't care or know. And some of them don't have jurisdiction, you know, matters with extraditions of sorts with the state. So that's an option if things go very bad.
I think I'm picking up what you're laying down, Marcus.
There's a green box somewhere in the Bahamas, too, you know. If you make it through, I'll let you know where that is. But he gives you the address of this green box site in New York City, like kind of on the outskirts. It looks like it's some warehouse. He tells you it's in a warehouse district, and he gives you a code to get in.
Okay. All right.
Of course, you're thinking, if I need to kill these people, why don't I just shoot them in the head, right?
That might not be that simple.
Right. Well, there's also the creature to deal with, right? So he says, is there anything else you need before I get back to sunbathing on the beach here?
Nope, Marcus. I think that's good. We'll wrap it up here, and one of us will report back into you.
I think farmer tans are much more attractive than people realize. I'm going to work on that. I'll talk to you later. Click. Wow, that was almost a sand check.
Yeah, that guy is crazy. That guy is crazy. Okay, so once I get off the phone with him, going to go in, pick up our food, and actually thinking about it, will Professor Hughes be there about the time that I get back?
Yeah, we'll say instead of an hour and a half, it's 2 hours. That way Jim's character can get into the scene. We get you all together for story purposes and fun.
Okay, so knowing the time frame of when he was going to be back, I would have gotten him a sandwich as well.
Sure.
And then I will head back, and I'll walk in with the sandwiches. Hey, Marco, what's up? Did you not pick up your phone?
Hey, I was distracted, you know, going through these files.
Oh, Marcus called me. He said the FBI is here, or they're coming for us because of, you know, what's happened. Mm. And he just gave us a heads up, said he couldn't get a hold of you.
Really? I check my cell phone and I see no calls.
No, you don't.
So I eye him suspiciously. What else did you talk to Marcus?
Well, he told me there was a place in New York where we could get some supplies if we needed them.
I guess we will need them pretty soon. Was I able to find anything about the FBI?
You do. You're going through various pieces of info, and Sebastian Hughes shows up. And then I'll give the information to you after Hughes makes his dramatic entrance or non-dramatic entrance.
gentlemen. Traffic, New York. We'll be good to get back to Boston after all this.
Mm-hmm. Did you talk to Marcus, Professor?
No, should I have? Is there a reason to do so?
Just ask him. Seems like Mason here is becoming very friendly with Marcus, so I'm going to make sure if you are on the same boat.
No, I'm not particularly friendly with Agent Marcus.
All right. Well,
something concerning you, Agent Marco?
Seems like the FBI is on top of us. I'm trying to verify that right now.
By us, of course, I presume you mean the two of you who have been here from the beginning. So we remember hearing about the disturbance, the difficulty with the Dingler boy and his parents.
No, that was Agent Molotov.
I don't know what you're talking about, boys. The FBI is going to love me. I got a huge recommendation from someone that matters.
The Danglers, actually, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it was the husband, or the husband knew some higher up there.
Yeah, as long as they don't ever connect you with their dead son, you'll be fine. Hughes can make an easy psychology roll, so double your psychology. This is for something you already know in character, but just so your character knows it.
That's going to be psychology. Yeah. Ooh, I can double my 5% to 10%.
You're one of those. You don't have any points.
So I fail by 25.
Yeah, I'll still give it to you. Just not with details. You sense you sense some tension between Marco and Mason, more on Mason's side than Marco's side. Just a little more stiffness when they're dealing with each other and whatnot. So
fair enough.
Probably attributed to the Dengler death. But anyway, Marco is spent a couple hours going through the computer databases, and he's actually hacked into the FBI, some of the FBI files and databases and whatnot. And yes, he finds information on several FBI agents being sent. Now, please make another roll, computers roll, and you don't have to wait 2 hours for this answer, Randall.
Okay. As a pass.
Okay. So as you're digging into this, you see that six agents are being sent, and you see their code names and everything, and you're recalling bits and pieces of information, and you feel your stomach tightening as you realize that they're actually in another agency called Majestic 12, and they're using the FBI as the front, just like you guys. But one of the people leading them is in the military branch of the Army, which would technically override the FBI if it became a federal matter. And now you can, all three of you, assuming anyone you share this with, you can make tradecraft roles to get more information on Majestic 12.
I will share the information with the three of them. Well,
okay. You can make tradecraft rolls with a plus 15.
What's the base for tradecraft?
Yeah, I don't have anything.
I think it's 25 or 30%. I'll pull up the character sheet here and find out in a moment. Roll.
Mine says 05. Tradecraft is base 05.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'll give you guys a plus 20 on that.
I fail. 23. I fail by 2.
As long as somebody passes, it's fine.
I failed.
So somebody made it with a impale or something, it sounds like?
No, I got 23 out of 25.
Okay.
With the 20 plus that you gave.
So Marco knows through his time as being a Delta Green agent and hearing things from other people and whatnot that Majestic 12 is a larger organization that has similar viewpoints on dealing with the supernatural, except they're more focused on aliens. And during the Area 51 incident, he heard of some UFO that crashed and was studied by the government. And certain people who were in Majestic 12 took a big interest in studying that technology. And over time, he has heard rumors that they deal with aliens who, to some extent, but And you've heard that the president doesn't even get consulted on this sometimes. The president is just told when he needs to be told. So that tells you right away that Majestic 12 is an incredibly powerful organization. You also know that Delta Green used to have a tie-in with the government until Operation Obsidian, which was at the end of the Vietnam War when something just went horribly wrong. And since then, Delta Green has been a rogue organization through very passionate individuals. But the basics is that Majestic 12 is much more interested in negotiating and studying the supernatural, whereas Delta Green tends to say, we can't do that. We need to just destroy it because it's beyond our comprehension. So if that applies, they may be coming here to try and study the creature, talk to it, capture it, whatever.
Yeah. And we need to destroy it before that happens. So I'll talk to the team and discuss about Majestic 12 and then tell them, okay, guys, we have a list. Let's start putting some marks on it. All Professor, right. Who do you pick? We need to split.
Well, of course we do. We haven't done anything together yet. Why should that change?
There's no sarcasm in the professor's voice there.
Sorry, out of game. I was talking to my son there for a second. What are we listing?
We're trying to, you know, we get a list of people that we believe are invoking the Ayapa in their dreams. So we need to, you know, take one by one.
To divvy up. Well, I believe that the two of you young fellows should run off and do that.
No, Professor. We don't have enough time. Majestic 12 is behind us, so we need to move quickly.
I see, yes. Well, you two decide. That's fine by me.
I say I go and pay a visit to Adam Langford to his party.
So do you guys know, real quick, do you guys know what are the names of the people you want to kill?
So let's go through the list very quickly. So
maybe you want to divide it up, you know, so everyone gets to kill an appropriate number of people equally.
Adam Langford. We're going to kill also Dingler's.
Mrs. Dingler?
Yeah, Mrs. Dingler.
I believe Agent Mason should handle Mrs. Dingler.
I agree.
No.
You got the charm. You got to use it, Mason.
No. I've built a personal relationship with that lady. You're not going to do that to me.
Oh, that was cold, Jim.
Personal relationship. Are you hearing this, Professor?
I raise my eyebrow at Agent Mason.
Okay. All right.
So
for the greater good, Agent Mason. For the greater good.
I heard. Who are the names after Adam Langford and Mrs. Dingler Randall?
Don't we also need to do Sandy Mahoney?
I think so. Yeah. So Cindy Mahoney.
Do we need to do all the kids?
Dingler's mom. I don't think so. I believe we should, you know, get the...
Only the ones that touch the real amulet.
So it's Mahoney, Dingler.
Those were the three that I had that he gave charms to.
Mm-hmm. Adam Langford.
Let's see.
We should also take care of Sam Adams.
just to be on the safe side.
Sam Adams has had no connection to any of this stuff, but you can add him if you want.
Shannon? Well, no, he's on the list. I got him on the list.
Okay.
Anyone else?
You know, I should mention that Sandy Mahoney's mother kind of laughed at Jim's character, so if you want to add her, feel free.
Mm,
we need to know certain things.
That's true. Now, there's something else. I'm not sure about Bob Turner. So here's the thing. He's been having some sort of, seizures where he just goes off. We don't know if during that time he's invoking the Ayapa or not. Plus, he's the one that had the sketch. right? So
yeah.
How did it come up with such a precise sketch of the creature?
So you don't want to kill Turner.
I think Turner needs to go as well. But let's leave Turner for last, and let's make sure that we cover at least three of these people tonight.
A lot of people to kill.
So I'm going to Langford's.
Okay. Well, hold on. So you guys have decided you're going to kill these just five people.
I'm five.
Right?
Oh, Adams and Turner are the other two?
And yeah, Randall wants to take out Adam. Who's Jim and Max going after out of curiosity? I mean, did you see how eager Randall was? He's like, okay, so I go to Randall's house. He's like, yeah, before we even finished.
So I guess I have been assigned Mrs. Dangler.
It was just a suggestion, Agent. I understand you have developed something relationship with her and felt you might want to handle it yourself.
Diplomatically? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
All right.
If you're not up to the task, I can certainly take care of it.
Oh, no. It will be fine.
Well, then I will go visit young Miss Mahoney.
Maybe kill the mother as a bonus, since they mocked me when they asked about courtship. Think internally, probably.
And I will go
not bitter.
Adam Langford, if some of us don't make it, remember to keep going through the list and to get this done tonight.
You hobo murderers, you. All right, so just talking about this and realizing you're going to do it, all three of you can make moderate sand checks.
Okay.
And you can bet there'll be more kill people.
Pass by pass. 9.
Okay, you're fine.
Pass easily.
Did anyone miss? Max?
Nope.
You missed?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So yeah, it's probably disturbing to Mason's character, and I don't know about the other two. But yeah, who wants to go first?
This here.
I think Agent Mason should.
No. Well, it's.
I'll go
tell you
first.
Right now.
I'll go first.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
That way, Agent Mason has time. That way, we can go kill people, and then Agent Mason can stab us in the back.
Yeah, I see.
Thank you, Jim. I gotta have time to set up.
I totally understand.
Okay. So you're going to go to the Mahoney residence?
Yes.
Drive, those who want to look at it. And you guys, you visually get to the Mahoney residence in the mid-afternoon. You think there's a good chance they're probably home since it's a Saturday. Then again, maybe not. So you come up to the door and knock, and a maid answers again.
Yep. Good afternoon. Agent Hughes with the FBI, is Miss Mahoney available, please?
Yes, please wait here. And she shuts the door, and a minute or two passes, and the mother shows up at the door and says, oh, well, hello there. I remember you. Come in.
Miss Mahoney, thank you.
She says to her maid to bring the usual, like some tea and coffee out. She goes, unless you like a drink now.
No,
disapproving look if you do.
That will be fine. Is your daughter here, Mrs. Mahoney?
On a Saturday? Oh, Professor, she's out and about. She has a social life.
Yes, of course. Do you know where I might find her?
Well, I think she was with her friend Amanda, and she was talking about going to a number of parties. She got invited to a few that she was kind of lukewarm about. You know how these things are. You can't have a good party every Saturday night. Only sometimes.
Something about the Langford boys party, yes?
I think that was on her C list, as she said, but she was going to drop by out of pity, she said.
I see. Tell me,
Professor. Professor, you are you going? If you're going to go, you should be. They'll think you're. Oh, never mind. What were you going to say?
Yes. Well, our Okay, out of game. We weren't really going to kill Mrs. Mahoney, right? We didn't.
You totally can if you want to.
Well, I'm aware of that. I know I can, but
well, you we know,
didn't,
hey,
we didn't officially have her on the list.
Yeah, I mean Sammy Adams. No. You guys want Sammy Adams to be on the list in and out of character, but you know, you know, there could be something. You know, she wouldn't tell me what I wanted, guys. I had to kill her as I was interrogating her. She died from the shock.
You keep saying "you guys" like you're lumping us all together here.
I think this was
a Marco voice. Plan.
Yeah, okay. That's the Hughes voice I was trying to imitate as he was under stress.
Yes. Okay, I'm not gonna kill her then. I can't come up with a good reason to do so. So.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, thank you for your time, Mrs. Mahoney. I apologize for bothering you. I will.
All right. She actually sees you at the door and she says, "You know, Professor. Are you seeing anyone? Because I know a few. Well, I know a few women of a certain age who might be interested in a scholar like yourself."
I see. Unfortunately, I am married to the job. Let us say.
Oh well, that's fine. They don't want too much of a thing here. Why don't you take my social card? She gives you her business card. She goes, "If you change your mind, just give me a ring." And she makes like one of those, you know, phone things that they put by their ear when, you know, you're supposed to call people, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, certainly, Mrs. Mahoney. Thank you.
Okay. So she kind of waves to you as you get in your car and leave. And you go looking for Mahoney. Do you call the others or you just start?
I'm going to call Marco and tell him to anticipate the possibility that Miss Mahoney will be at the Langford Boys party.
Okay. Now, keep in mind, it's still like late afternoon, so a lot of people who are going to go to parties may wait until the evening to show up. They may not go in the afternoon, especially if the party's going really late. Like at this point, only the people who are really excited about the party are probably going to be there, and they're still going to be setting up, is what you figure from the flyer that Adam gave to you guys. But Adam's probably there. So
that means Marco's getting drunk.
Well, Professor, I think that's a good opportunity for you to stay around the house and wait for the girl to come back.
Yes, I will stake it out in case she shows up.
Okay.
So, yes, I will stake out the Mahoney residence.
Okay. We'll go over to Randall then, Marco. Mm-hmm. Are you going straight to the Langford house?
Yeah, but I'm going to pull down the you know, I'm going to stop the car a few blocks away from the house. I'm going to get closer, but without being noticed, hopefully. Okay. And I'm going to see if there's a party going.
Okay, make an idea roll.
Ah, that's a failure. Can I reroll?
Yeah, totally. I'll take the chip off. Go for it.
All right. Does it pass?
Okay, so it occurs to you that you certainly have a right to show up to the party. I mean, he did invite you. You will stand out since it sounds like it's going to be mostly high school teenagers at that. And you probably can't pass for that. But, you know, other than that, you think you'll be fine if you dress down and maybe loosen your tie.
No, I don't want to go to the party, actually. I just want to see if there is a party.
I know. I'm just saying, you know, if you walk in, it's not like people are going to freak out. Oh, my God, an adult.
Yeah.
Especially since Adam invited you and would probably make a big thing about, hey, look who I brought. FBI.
Well, you know, I can. That's what I want to avoid.
Wait, we're out of beer. What a coincidence.
We need beer, man. So, yeah, you drive by and you don't hear a lot. And you can hear, like, there's like a radio in the backyard, which is fenced. And sounds like you can hear some voices of multiple people, but it doesn't sound like the party has gotten going yet, because there would be a lot more people. And, you know, you look at the flyer, and the flyer says, like, you know, basically, you know, come. Looks like it's going from 7 to midnight, but in notes it says you can come a few hours earlier if you want. And then, you know, so you figure.
What time is it now?
It's like, we'll say it's about 6, so the sun is not set yet. It'll probably set around 8.
Okay, so here's the thing. Do we have a silencer on my gun?
If you want, you do. Yeah.
Okay, man. I'm gonna set it up. I'm gonna go to Langford's house, but coming from behind, see if there's an entry.
Okay, so yeah, you get out and start looking around, and it looks like there's a front door, of course. There's windows on the side, and then you can hear people talking and music in the backyard, which is fenced, there's a gate there too, which probably isn't locked.
There's people there already. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, you can hear like maybe a dozen people there.
Okay, no, so in that case, I'm going to wait until it is dark. So I'm going to go back to my car and wait for a few more hours until it is really dark.
Okay, so yeah, the party starts about 7 and it'll be dark at about, it'll be like dusk at 8. So probably 8:30 to 9, it'll be dark.
So you know what? I'm going to go and grab something to eat.
Okay.
While I plan what I'm going to do.
Sure.
So.
And the professor's watching the Mahoney residence and waiting to get confirmation that Sandy Mahoney's showing up, right? Is that correct, Professor?
Yeah, that was the plan.
Okay. I don't hear Jim. He might be muted or away, but okay, cool. So meanwhile, over to Frank Mason, who is not going to the Dengler residence, surprisingly.
No. Frank Mason is going to head out of town at a normal pace by way of going through the, you know, past the Danglers, seeing if they're home, just driving by. And then, yeah, heading out of town. As soon as I'm out on the highway, jamming on it like 90 miles an hour, just heading on my way to New York.
Okay. All right, so yeah, if you want, you can make a driving roll to see if you make good time. You're not going to crash if you fail.
Oh, I have some skill in it.
Yeah, and you have chips.
I will use a clue chip. That was a 48.
Okay.
I need
a clue chip off.
32 or less. Oh, 92. How about another clue chip?
Sure, pulling one off.
I need to get there fast. 79, another fail.
Just accept it. You crash on the way. Just accept it. Just accept your fate.
If you bad braked it, you might crash or get a ticket. Ticket more likely.
Well,
you've got 5.
I don't know. 90
left.
5 left. Okay, I'm gonna spend one more.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. 10.
Oh wow.
So that's a success.
Yeah, that's like your driving is 40. You said
32.
32? Okay. So, yeah, that's a half. So instead of it taking the usual 2 hours plus, you get there in an hour and, like, 30 minutes. You were driving amazingly, and the lights came on when you needed, and you sped when you could and slowed down when you knew there were cops around or people watching. And you were in some warehouse district, and you pull in front of, like, you know, those storage places. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's open where every storage place is individual, and you get the number, which is 666.
Oh,
and you go up to the panel, and there's a code you can punch in to access it.
I do so.
Okay.
I look left, and then I look right. Make sure there's nobody around.
Yeah, there's nobody really hanging out here. I mean, there was somebody in there, you know, down another aisle who was going through their stuff, but nobody in this aisle.
Okay. I will open this green box or whatever.
Okay.
So
you punch the codes in, and you hear a click, and you know that the hatch is, you know, the garage door is unlocked, and you can just pull it open.
All right. Pull it open slowly.
Okay. Have you gone out too, I bet?
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You pull it open slowly, and you're hit by an unusual smell that you weren't expecting. It smells like jasmine flowers as you kind of pull it open and kind of peek under and pull the garage door open. And you see, like, it's a very small store. I mean, it would be like maybe 10 feet, you know, 10 by 10, so to speak.
Okay.
And you can see it's only half filled up with stuff. And a lot of it looks quite exotic and strange to you. But then
I don't touch anything when I walk around.
Yeah, there's a few things that don't look too weird. Like there's a huge trunk, which is closed but not locked. You can see there's a shelf. And the shelf I mean, there's a number of knickknacks, but there's three disturbing things on there that are equally the same. They appear to be big glass jars that are filled with a combination of what appears to be some yellowish substance, which reminds you of Grey Poupon mustard and water, and each of them is filled with a kitten that still looks to be alive and is moving about in those containers.
Okay.
There's some stuff that looks like maybe African or South Pacific, like a staff and some head masks that are off to the side. You can see like there are clips for different weapons, and there's like just about every weapon in the regular Call of Cthulhu book that fits the period is here. Like there's a combat shotgun with extra shells. There's pistols. There's actually a submachine gun. There's some assault rifles, things like that. And there's also a few hand grenades as well. And when, you know, that's just looking around. That's not even opening up things.
Okay. Well, Mason would kind of stand there a little bit in awe.
Do you have Call of Cthulhu? Not Call of Cthulhu. Do you have Cthulhu Mythos?
I don't think so. Nope, I don't.
Okay. Well, you can make a tradecraft roll, which I think is just 5% for you as you're looking at some of the things.
96.
Okay. Hey, you are a new agent.
Yeah, super new.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go over and look inside the trunk.
Okay. So you open up the trunk and you see more military ordnance on one side. And it looks like claymores. As you're looking it over. And then on the left side, you see more of those jars filled with those kittens and Grey Poupon. I mean, these are big jars big enough to fit kittens, and they all seem to be alive. And at that point, you notice that this trunk is deeper than it could possibly be. You can make a sand check. Minor sand check.
Now, what's a minor sand check?
It's just my indication to you that you can't lose that many points if you miss.
20.
Okay, you're fine.
All right. I'm going to inspect one of those cat things closer.
All right.
That is weird.
Pick one up from the trunk. The cat is in there. You can kind of hear it meowing as you look at it. It looks like it wants to obviously get out, but you don't know how it's still alive in there. I mean, the glass jar is sealed. The thing would have suffocated, but yet it's still alive, and it's in water and... What appears to be Grey Poupon mustard, which is my favorite mustard, by the way, out of character.
Fun fact. I'm a honey mustard man myself. So
there are like 9 of these kitten jars.
There's 9 of them. That is very strange.
Yeah.
There
are also, as you're looking about, a little more, you notice that there's some journals filled with you kind of look at them, it looks like they have handwritings on them and whatnot.
Yeah, I'll kind of take a skim through those real quick and see if I can, you know, looking for some keywords. Cat, jar, you know.
Okay. Make a library use roll to see how well you go through it fast, since time is of the essence.
Yeah. Library use. I'm not used to this Delta sheet and where everything is. Okay, there it is. I'll use a clue chip.
Okay.
I failed by 7. 75, I make it exactly.
Okay. Now you can make an occult roll. And by the way, I'm going to give you a clue chip for getting to a green box.
Sweet. Okay, so you said occult. Oh, come on, hot 5. Nope. 64. Okay.
So as you're going through the library materials, you find out that it says it does mention these kittens in a jar, and it says every time we use one of these, something different happens. But it's good to have these when the shit hits the fan and there's no other option. I recommend we keep these as needed. But I want to say that we should be very careful in using these. And it says it's signed Darren. Probably from D-Cell. And then there's a reply back that's that says, from somebody called Ernest, who's probably from ESL, who says, I suggest we keep a good portion of these near the coast if we need to dump them in the ocean if it gets out of hand and they turn into something more lethal. And I suggest, and he gives the address of this green box in New York.
Okay. Well, is there a nice padded bag around?
Yes. And also, you also find a journal where it shows like people in code checking into the green boxes, which Marcus didn't tell you about. And you see that the last time someone checked into this green box was 5 years ago. And it was someone from B-cell named Bob. And you're beginning to notice that like all the people who know about this seem to be higher up than M-cell. And you're wondering if Marcus was supposed to tell you about this green box, since, you know, M-cell is sort of like, you know, supposedly like the higher the cell, the more sophisticated the agents are and the more knowledgeable and experienced and blah, blah, blah. As you're flipping through, like, you don't see anybody below F-cell who's had access to this green box over, like, the last couple of decades.
We just lost Max. Hang on.
Oh, okay. He was so excited he bumped out.
Yep, he couldn't stand the...
He was like, oh, my God, my own green box, my own green box. Yeah, it looks like he's trying to load back in. I would normally cut over back to the two of you, but there's a pretty critical moment here for Max to decide on something, so we might want to give him a moment or two. But, yeah. Let's see. Well, he's not trying to get back on. Do you want to try and add him back to the call, or did he totally get bumped off Skype?
Well, that's what I was doing. That was cool. Me calling him.
Cool. So yeah, I don't know if we're going to finish the scenario tonight, but we will definitely, if not, we will definitely finish it in the next scenario as an FYI. So let me ask this. What time were you planning to go into the Langford party, Randall? You said you were going to go in when it was nighttime or dusk?
No, pretty much when it's dark enough for me to sneak in.
Okay.
Without being noticed.
Because I will say that, you know, if you're going in around then no matter how Max drives, even if he drives really well, if for some reason he wanted to get to the Langford house, which I doubt since he doesn't really like that character, he wouldn't get back in time if he was going to try something to stop you. So while we're waiting for Max to come in, I will say that you're waiting, and maybe about 8:20. As the, you know, the party's been going on since like 7, but there's still light out. As about 8:20, you see a car pull up and you see some girls get out, which includes Sandy Mahoney.
Oh, crap.
They're going into the party. There's probably like maybe there's like 50 to 100 kids at this party, by the way. Some are hanging outside on the sidewalk. Others are outside of the fence, and a lot of people are in the house or the backyard. You have not seen Adam, but he's probably been hosting.
Yeah, I'm going to give the professor a call and let him know that Mahoney is here.
Okay.
There we go.
Well, I guess I don't need to wait out here anymore.
Okay.
No, you can come with me, professor. I'm waiting here inside my car.
Come with you. What do you mean, come with you, Agent Marco?
Well, I'm planning to go after the kid, so maybe you should get the girl at the same time, and we can, you know, make sure that we get two birds with one shot.
I see. Well, I will be there shortly, I suppose.
All right.
Okay, so I kind of know what you guys are doing, and that was a few hours ahead of where Max was at. So I'll go back to you, Max. So what part did you get last before you got bumped?
So mostly upper echelon Delta Green people that know about the green box.
This particular green
box,
yeah.
So what I'm going to – right, this particular green box at the check-in sheet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to – copy down that login sheet.
Okay.
With the people's names. I'm going to grab two of the kitten jars of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And put them in that padded bag. I'm also okay. going to grab one hand grenade.
Okay.
Two hand grenades. Why not?
Okay. Does your character have any hand grenade experience or just throwing?
No. Just throw.
Okay. So we'll see what happens when it happens.
Well, I mean, he's going to be more elegant than that. All he needs is a length of string to pull the pin.
Sure. Also, Ernest has a phone number there that is several years old, but there's a phone number, and it's in the New York. It's in New York City.
Now, do they have a secure line inside this green box?
There is a secure line in the green box. Yes.
Okay.
You also, as you look, you found this when you were looking around for a phone. You pulled back some sheets and covers and found it, and it was in the corner. And you can see there's one of those high-tech recording machines that are separate from the phone, you know, that have the little tapes in them. And,
it's like a dictacorder.
Yeah, it's got a light blinking. It looks like there's 28 messages.
Oh, man. I want to listen to them, but I don't want to take the time.
Yeah, you probably been in here for about 20, 30 minutes going through all this stuff.
Okay,
did you want to take any of the big guns, like shotguns and assault rifles, or you're fine with hand grenades?
I guess right now I have a Glock. My guy's really good with handgun.
Right.
So, I guess, is there any better handguns?
How much damage does your Glock do?
I think it's a D10.
Yeah, and it's like two shots per round or something. That's one of the better handguns, in my opinion.
Well, I'll take another Glock then, if they have one.
Yeah, there's another Glock there.
And silencer.
Yep.
And
you probably already had a silencer for your original pistol, I would think.
Yeah, probably.
Or actually, more accurately, you probably had a Glock, and then you had another Glock with a silencer, because if someone finds out you have a Glock with a silencer attachment, that's not cool with law officials. So it's probably what you had combo-wise.
Okay. Then, yeah. So, okay. So then I think that's all that I'm grabbing. So I got the two grenades. I got the two kitty bombs. I got the...
The messages are calling out to you as you're getting ready to go.
No. I'm grabbing the tape.
Okay.
I'm just pulling the tape out.
Okay.
And then... Yeah, and then I'll just take down the number for Ernest.
Okay.
Along with the sign-in sheet copy that I made.
Yep.
With the names. And I'm going to start heading back to Montauk.
Okay. So you move back out. You're punching the code in to, you know, I mean, you're gonna shut the hatch and then punch the code in. As you're shutting the hatch, there's a clatter inside. And you can see that some of the strange relics and stuff have fallen, and one of the masks is falling, and it's pointed to you, and it's almost looking accusingly at you, and you could swear for a moment that the eyes of the mask flashed a bluish light for a split second.
I'll grab the mask, too.
All right, you go in, grab the mask, then you shut the hatch and punch in the code to lock it again, and then you get into your vehicle, and you're going to drive back quite fast, I take it?
Yeah, I'm going to try and do the same again.
Driving roll, please.
That is a 90,
I will use a clue chip.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's gonna be an ot 6.
Nice.
Out of 35.
That's an impale.
Yep, that's exactly an impale.
So instead of about an hour and hour and a half, you actually get there in like an hour and, say, 10 minutes, where you're just driving furiously and you are miraculously not pulled over by cops, even though you're speeding like at maximum on the freeways and driving like really fast, and nobody dies from this as you're driving over sidewalks and whatnot in New York City and blah blah blah.
No points.
Yeah. Great. It's not Grand Theft Auto yet, or is it? And where are you headed to first?
Oh man. Mason, he's going to stop right before he gets out of town, and he's going to think.
Okay. Camera focuses close on Mason's face as he's thinking.
Let's see here. I think I'm going to have to try and go sneak up to the Langford house, because I know Marco's going to be there.
Okay. So you're going to try and sneak into the house, or what's your plan?
No, I'm going to try and sneak into the house two doors down. Doesn't matter which side, or it does if they have bigger plants slash bigger fences. So I'm going to try and get into one of the backyards of the houses nearby.
Okay. Okay, so you're going to... Where are you going to park?
Well, first I'm going to change into my fancy duds that I got for the yacht club so that at least I don't look like what I would normally look like.
Okay.
And then I think I'll park a good 5 blocks away and walk in.
Okay. So you park 5 blocks away. You get you got your stuff in bags, I take it, like the kitten jars and...
Yeah, I'm going to be taking one kitten jar and one hand grenade.
Okay.
And my pistol with a silencer.
Okay. All right, so you're walking down the street.
I'm going to go with not the street that Langford's house is on, but I'll go on the street next to it, which would be where his backyard was.
Okay.
I guess. So.
Sure. Okay, so you cut over there, and you can hear there's a party going on that's loud. It's dusk, and you guys are... I mean, you alone are going there, but you can hear there are a lot of people there. And there's a fence. You can see there's a fence around the backyard, probably about 6 feet high. And you can see there's a gate in the back, and you can see high schoolers coming in and out of it. And as it's opening and closing, you can see there's like a big bunch of kegs laid out in back, and there's a group gathered around people. Someone who appears to be breakdancing.
Okay.
And meanwhile, what are the professor and Marco doing? They're waiting, right, till like when it's dark, I take it.
Well, I would have eventually shown up at the Langford house and asked Marco what his plan was.
Well, I was waiting for the night to fall and call Dingler out. I'm not Dingler.
Langford.
Sorry, yeah. The conscience was talking back to me. So I was going to call up Langford, tell him that there was something I wanted to talk to him about, the case, and then shoot him. But there's a lot of people right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, perhaps some kind of distraction to empty the house. And
Like a fire?
That might work. So, I'm sorry, the house that the party is in, is it one story, two stories?
It's two stories.
Okay. So, is the party in the house or in the backyard? Or kind of
both? It appears to be in both. Yeah. Okay. It's spilled out into the front, too. There are kids hanging out on the front area of the lawn and the porch. It's like there are people at this party, but they don't want to hang out with everyone, so they've got their own cliques, right?
How do we get people to want to leave the party without them seeing us? Perhaps we could make an anonymous call to the local police about some sort of drug malfeasance going on, and they would come break it up?
But then the police is going to hang out there for a while. Unless we are patient and we wait until the police is gone, and then we go after Langford.
Well, that should at least send Miss Mahoney home. We could take care of her and then come back until wait for the police to leave.
Okay, let's give that a try.
Okay, we'll call the police and tell them that there is a loud party going on, and there's a bunch of teenagers smoking pot in the front yard.
Okay, and it'll be like a random, it'll be a private call type thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, make a social skill roll when you do that, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, I'm pretty sure that roll will fail any of my social skills, which is...
You can roll it if you want. You got a bunch of chips.
True, it fails everything.
Unless you bad break on a 9900.
No, it's not a botch. Okay, I'll use a clue chip and try this once more.
Yeah, you've only got like 15.
Okay, let's see. That will pass. Bargain.
Okay.
Pass fast talk. It will pass persuade. Yeah, that's good for anything.
Okay, that's good for the latter two. All right, so they say, we'll have someone check it out, sir. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. So I try to disguise my voice.
Okay, sure. And, so you guys are just hanging out in the car and kind of waiting. Max, meanwhile, you're watching from the back area. You can kind of see the same stuff going on. If you want to start, you can hold your position or sneak around or do something else.
Perhaps we should call Agent Marco, Agent Mason, to see how he is there with Mrs. Dingler. It has been quite a while since we heard from him.
Okay, so out of game.
I mean, really, that's something we would have done by now. We've been waiting here for hours.
Right. Or I guess regardless, in-game as well. How far away is the Dangler's house from the Langford house?
Driving probably be about 15-20 minutes since they're in the very rich area of Montauk, and this is the quote-unquote poor area of Montauk, which is basically the middle-class area.
Okay, sweet. So they're not just like down the street and go, oh, let's go check on the Dangler house. All right, good.
Just stroll down and kill them. Boom. Yeah, I will say, add a character, just, you know, even if it comes to a PvP, I'll try to make it interesting for you guys rather than random. Give you some time to talk to each other before killing each other, possibly. So,
well,
I don't know how much time there's going to be once Agent Mason starts lobbing those grenades at us while we're still sitting in the car oblivious to his presence.
You should have heard me. Catch.
I said I didn't want to kill her. Yeah, so I would...
Real quick, I should mention, for those who don't know the Google Drive that I gave you, you can click it from list to grid, and all the pictures will show up in large thumbnails. Just as an FYI, if anybody wants to refresh what the house looks like, the Langford house looks like, or more importantly, what Adam looks like, because I know you all care about that. So,
okay, so pretty much never going to look inside the Google Drive.
You're like, no, no.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to...
Yeah, it looks like they're having a really good time. You know, yeah, I mean, Adam Langford's probably surprisingly happy that all these people showed up.
Yeah, I'm going to leave. I don't hear any sign or see any sign of Marco or Professor Hughes.
Not in the house. No. But, you know, if you start looking around, you're going to have to be sneaky. And
right, in case.
If they are around, you have to hope they don't see you coming.
Yeah, I mean, because I can really only see what's going on in the backyard, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, I'm going to try and sneak into the next door backyard so I can walk up the side yard and kind of like skirt along the side of the Langford house.
So you're going like between houses is the plan?
Yeah, either between houses or if it's just a fence in between the houses on his neighbor's side of the fence.
Okay. You can make an easy sneak roll, so double your sneak.
Okay, which I think is negligible. Where is it? Nope, 73. And I just have base at 10. So
okay. So as you're sneaking between houses, you see an old lady looking out the window down at you and trying to say something through the window, but you can't hear it.
I flash my FBI badge.
Okay. She.
And I make the like shush, like be quiet sign.
Okay. Make a social roll with a plus 15.
Hot 7.
All right. She does a shoot back to you and winks.
Awesome. And I continue to kind of like listen, and then, you know, if I can see any like spots that I can peek through the slats of the fence, see if I can.
Yeah, you can make a spot roll as well while you're doing all this.
98.
Okay. You want to reroll that or keep it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to reroll that. 48 is going to be a success.
Okay, you see that. Sandy Mahoney is at this party too. He was one of the people on the hit list.
Okay. All right. See Sandy Mahoney there. Mm-hmm. All right. But I don't see or hear Marco or Hughes at all.
No, they probably stand out at the party because it's mostly teenagers from what you can tell. And then at that point, you hear police sirens and you see a police car pulling up to the front of the Langford house. And okay. You're like in between houses, kind of in between. And you see a couple police officers getting out, making their way to the front. And of course, Marco and Hughes see this as well, if they want to do anything or just wait.
Well, as soon as I hear the police sirens, I would quietly book it out the back and head out to my car.
Okay.
And then I think I'm going to have a drive over to the Danglers.
Okay. All right, so that's your plan. What are the amazing duo doing in their car?
Waiting.
Dynamic duo.
Yeah, watching to see if our
okay
plan works. And we would have called Agent Mason by now, by the way.
Okay, so Mason, you've gotten a call that came in when you were busy that went to voicemail, and do you want to call them back while you're at your car?
Yeah, I'll call them back.
Okay, you guys are on the line together. Or a three-way if you want.
Right. Hughes!
Agent Mason, how did it go with Mrs. Dingler?
It's not done yet. She finagled me into dinner. So they're about to go to bed, I think, and then I should be able to get in there and take care of, it's going to have to be her and her husband. How's everything going with you guys?
Can I make a psychology roll on Agent Mason?
Yeah, so I'm going to say it's going to be an opposed. I mean, because he has taken longer than you expected substantially, I'm going to say it's an opposed roll where Mason gets to make a fast talk roll and the two of you get to make psychology rolls, and I'll give the psychology rolls a plus 10 since it's been several hours and he hasn't killed her yet.
Yeah, well, I just have base in psychology, so I don't know.
That's okay because I just have base in fast talk.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he's going slow about it, but this is to feel more like something is wrong, right? Rather than he's taking his time killing her. That's already evident.
I fail.
This is a pass.
I fail as well. 79. I'm going to try. How many clue chips do I have?
I see one, but I'm giving each of you a clue chip now. So you've got two, and Randall's got four, but Jim's got like in the teens as an FYI.
Oh man. All right, I'm gonna keep
Jim care enough to roll.
No. I'm gonna keep my two because you know what? It's just about killing time for tonight.
Okay, so Randall made it, the other two failed, as I understand it. Randall, you passed regular success or half or impale?
You gave me 10, right? So it's a regular.
Okay, so
58 out of 85.
Without even rolling, it's evident to Hughes and Marco that obviously Mason is delaying because it's been like several hours and he hasn't killed Mrs. Dangler. So, but with your psychology roll, you get the feeling that something's wrong with Mason, like he's hiding something from you. You don't automatically default and say, "Oh, he's trying to kill us," because that would be bad metagaming. But you kind of get the feeling that he's not telling everything, and maybe he's got something planned that you don't know about, or he's not telling you something. But that could be a variety of things, right?
Okay.
I'll look at Agent Mason and I'll give him a hand saying, "That sounds like an excellent plan, Agent." Agent Marco. That sounds like an excellent plan, Agent Mason. Let us know how it goes, and then hang up.
Okay.
We lost him, Professor.
I think so. I believe perhaps I shall go take care of Mrs. Dangler, and you can deal with the two kids here.
Yeah, let's actually do that.
Yes.
Excellent
luck, Agent Marco.
I'll stay here.
Oh, this will be interesting.
let's keep in touch.
And I'm going to go back and get in my car and...
Okay.
Head over to the Dinglers.
And Marco, so I'll do Marco first. You're waiting for about 5 minutes, and you see the cops come out, and Adam Langford's actually in between them, and he's laughing and joking with them. And he actually walks them to the police car.
Oh, well, that didn't work.
And he's like, you know, he's talking to them and everything, and actually... one of the cops actually shakes his hand before getting into the car, and he seems a little jovial as far as cops go. And Adam Adam kind of watches them go, and then when they go, the kids on the lawn and the porch start applauding him, and he takes this like dramatic bow and then almost skips back into the house.
Are you gonna, you know, I'm gonna, I will have to wait. Yeah, I will stay there and wait.
So is your plan to kind of wait till the party thins out or is almost empty and then get Adam Langford?
Or, pretty much.
And then what is your plan if you see Sandy Mahoney leave early or with a group of people? You want to know about that? Or you
it depends. If she leaves alone, I want to know. Or if she leaves with her friend, which was Amanda Parker.
Yeah, she came with another friend. So it was her and another girl who came in a car.
Okay.
A 325i BMW, of course.
Mm. So she was driving?
Yeah. It has one of those tops you can pull down, too. They left it down if you want to look through their car or whatever.
No, I would like to cut the brakes.
Okay. That's probably going to be a mechanical repair roll with a sneak since there are people in front still parting and the car is like maybe 50 feet away on the street and there may be neighbors nearby who peek out and it is a lit street.
No, as well. So I will wait. I don't have mechanical repair enough or sneak to do that.
Okay.
Me know if they leave.
Okay. I mean, you could totally puncture the tires without making a roll if you wanted. If you had, you know, use a knife if you want to do that or cut them up and stuff. But if you're just trying to slow the car down or whatnot.
I have enough time to get some sugar and put it on the
yeah,
the gasoline.
Yeah, you go down to the market and get that and put it up the exhaust pipe. You heard that works in movies.
Yeah.
Or put it into their fuel. You've heard of that too. Though you're pretty sure a BMW is going to have a key lock on the thing, or you have to operate it from the front.
Potato in the tailpipe, baby. Potato in the tailpipe.
Yeah.
Tailpipe.
Potato in the tailpipe. Sugar in the gas.
That way they'll drive away. They'll get away from the party, and the car will die at some place in between, and take them then.
Yeah.
That's what I was. You know, thinking, you know, I want them to leave the house, then stop somewhere.
Okay.
And then I will pass by.
All right. So, yeah, you can go and get that and then come back to the party. Meanwhile, at the Dengler residence. So it sounds like Mason would get there a bit before the professor. So he pulls up, you know, down the way. You can make an idea roll there, Frank Mason.
I think I know what I'm trying to get an idea of. 19 is a success.
Yeah, it occurs to you that they probably know their son is dead at this point. And they probably just heard it today.
Yeah. I'm going to go up and console them.
All right, so...
Wait, what time? Okay, so wait.
It's early evening. It's probably about 8-ish.
So it's dark.
It's like dusk dark, right? So it's probably like... I'm thinking by the time you got there, it's like quarter to nine, so it's just becoming dark, we'll say.
Oh, dang it. Dang summer. Okay. Well, I think I'm going to, I'm sorry for the pun, but I'm going to take one of the cats out of the bag.
Okay.
And
it's still meowing and inside the jar, somehow alive.
Okay, I'm going to set that on the driver's seat.
Okay.
Of my car. Roll down all the windows.
Okay.
And...
You see the lights are on in the Dengler house, by the way.
In the Dengler house?
Yeah. And you figure their maid isn't there because she's a day maid.
Yeah, Bonita.
Day maid cook and every... Yeah, so she's probably left.
You know what? I'm just going to sit in the car. I'm going to wait until their lights go out. Until they're asleep.
All right, so you're waiting in the car... Hughes, you're pulling up the long driveway per the picture, and you can make a spot roll to see Mason's car from a distance as you're coming in. And obviously, Mason, you see headlights as the car comes in.
Okay. That is a pass by 7.
Oh. Well, he's okay. Gotta. I mean,
Yeah. So yeah, before you're even like driven up to the front, as you're pulling up the long driveway per the picture of the Dengler residence, you see, you know, there's a number of cars in there, but you recognize one of the cars is Frank Mason's car.
Okay. I'm going to park behind Frank Mason's car.
Okay. And you see that Frank Mason is in the car. sitting in it.
My intention would be to walk up and get in the passenger, open the passenger door and get in the passenger seat. Unless I you know, look in the window and see something.
Okay.
That confuses me.
No. It shouldn't, because I ended up just not doing that and just waiting, because that's what I would do anyway in my other circumstance. So I'm just sitting there.
Do I see anything untoward inside the car?
Well, you left the jar on the passenger side, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I would not
Or you'd put it back when you see him walking.
Yeah, just the lights were on. I would have just sat in the car and waited until their lights were off. I probably would have just pulled out my my sidearm with my silencer on it. Just sit there. But, I mean, if I saw the professor, I would just kind of like give him a wave and the shush sign and just like wave him over.
All right. So you probably turn your lights off and...
Yeah, I'm just sitting there, you know, recliner back.
Okay. So, yeah, you're coming over cautiously, I would think, and you can see that Max is in the car. And do you have your gun out or hidden, or are you just kind of walking up, Jim?
Where are his hands?
That's hard to see because you're coming from the back and you just see him in the in the driver's seat, right?
Well, I don't really have any, you know, I know clearly he's lying about Mrs. Dengler, but I don't really have a reason to suspect him of anything other than being a softie. So, yeah, I'm just gonna open the passenger door and get in.
Okay. Do you have your gun out as he's opening the car and getting in, Max, or do you have it hidden, or you just have it on your lap?
I have it in my lap, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to, after I wave at him, I'm going to just kind of like leave it on my lap and point it towards the passenger door where he's going to be getting in.
All right.
But I'm just going to kind of rest it there. So it's just ready in case I need it.
Okay. So yeah, you see he's got a handgun with a silencer out.
Okay.
And it's on his lap, but he's not pointing it at you or anything like that.
Sure.
It occurs to you maybe it was intended for Mrs. Dengler, but still, it's a handgun with a silencer.
Yep. Okay. So, how goes it, Agent Mason? Putting your plan into action, are you?
Well, they're staying up later than I would have expected. So, I'm just waiting until they're asleep. Come on, Hughes. This is rough. This is rough on me. Having to kill this lady after spending so much time building up that relationship.
Well, I tell you what, Agent Mason, I certainly understand your predicament. I believe Agent Marco could probably use some help with the teenagers. I will take care of Mrs. Dengler. You can go to the Langford house. You should find Agent Marco down the street. There's a bit of a party going on. He's having some trouble. Perhaps you could assist him.
Well, That sounds like a wonderful plan.
Very good. And I will get out of the car and stand there watching, waiting for him to drive away.
Okay. What do you do, Mason?
I will drive away. I will drive away and turn down the next street.
Okay.
As soon as he driving in the direction of the...
looks like he's left the long driveway and gone down it back onto the street.
Okay. As soon as the car is out of sight, I'm going to walk up to the front door.
Is Frank Mason going to meet Marco, or is he doing something else, just so we know?
Oh, I'm going to park as soon as I'm out of sight, and then I'm going to go run sneakily up with a kitten bomb.
Okay.
And get that right up into Hugh's car while he's going up to check on me.
Okay. And then you're going to take off or wait or what? I'm going to try and combine this, make it cinematic for everyone.
I'm going to get back what I think would be a safe distance and then pull out my gun and get ready to shoot that kitty jar.
Okay. Okay. So, Hughes, you go up to the door. You can hear some classical music and the lights are on.
I was just going to wait for him and see what he was going to do, but...
Ring the bell.
The opening...
Okay. You ring the bell, and you know, the it's Mr. Dengler. He says, actually, why don't you make a luck roll? If you want it to be, it can be Mrs. Dengler, which would make your job easier.
No, that's not going to happen.
Okay, so Mr. Dengler, unless you want to re-roll that, Mr. Dengler opens the door.
That's fine.
And says, oh, hello. Can I help you, special agent?
Mr. Dengler, is your wife home?
Oh, yeah, well, I apologize for my condition. You can see, like, his clothes are rumpled, his eyes are red. We found out our son died at the Swansea Clinic.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that. I will just take a moment of her time.
All right, why don't you come in? And he just leaves the door open and kind of his head's kind of down. He's clearly depressed. He kind of shuffles in and goes, honey, one of the special agents is here. And you hear, is it Frank? No, no, it's not Frank. It's one of the other ones. Oh, and you hear disappointment.
Does he turn away to walk towards where his wife is?
Yeah, he
as soon as he does, I shoot him in the back.
Okay, I think that's a two shot weapon. So go ahead and roll if you want to, or if you want to put one bullet in him,
and then I'm immediately going to walk over to whichever room I heard his wife in, heard Mrs. Dengler in, and cap her as well.
Okay, so you're at point blank, I would presume, so you get double your handgun. So go ahead and roll, and unless you miss, you get to roll damage twice, and it is on a silencer, so she probably didn't even hear it. You hope.
Just the crumpling to the ground of her husband.
Well, she'll hear it. She'll definitely hear that, but if she doesn't pick out the silencer noise, she may not know what's going on, right? She might think her husband just had an accident.
Now you do understand that Professor Hughes is an academic. He's not used to...
Are you trying to tell us he missed twice?
He's not used to this sort of engagement. Fortunately, the second shot is an impale.
Okay, double damage then.
Would you believe 15?
Okay, you see him drop, and you know she calls out and says, "Well, just a minute, I'm coming." And she didn't seem to hear the. The gun, the silenced gun, or the husband falling.
I will walk to the room where she is and pop her.
Okay. See her in a room. She's got in the kitchen. She's got a big portrait of Thomas Dengler she's looking at, and she's wiping her eyes and she's trying to put makeup on. And you just kind of walk in point blank, or do you shoot her from a distance? She may have time to react if you try point blank.
No, I'm just going to walk into when I see her. I'll probably miss anyway, but.
Go for it.
Crap. Yeah, they both miss.
She goes, ah, and she missed her roll, so that was a surprise round for her. So you get to fire. What's your dex?
My dex is 11.
You go before her. She turns, and you hear her saying, what are you doing? Why are you trying to kill us? We didn't do anything to you. And go and roll.
I'm going to try to close the. Can I close the distance?
You can move up there point blank and get one shot if you want.
Okay, I better do that. Okay, cool. That's a hit.
Damage?
8.
Fortunately, she stops screaming and she falls down.
I shoot her in the head just to make sure.
All right. You go. And her body twitches and blood leaks out from her head and whatnot, and you're positive she's dead, just like the husband. Okay. And now the house is mostly silent, with exception of Bach playing in the background.
Okay. I'm going to go into the kitchen.
Okay.
Is the stove electric or gas?
Make a luck roll. It'll be whatever you want. Because there's justification for both types.
That's a pass.
Okay, so what do you want it to be?
I want gas, it to be probably? Gas, yes.
Yeah, so there's gas because it's like, you know, some people did like gas stoves even back in the 90s for various reasons. Or it could be an old house, whatever.
So I'm going to turn the gas stove on and turn all the burners on. Not ignite them, just turn them all on.
Okay.
And I will presume that a fancy house like this probably has some candles somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I will light one, leave it in the kitchen. and just walk out the house.
Okay.
Eventually there will be enough gas there, you know. I mean, it might take half an hour, but that suits my purposes just fine. And I will walk out of the house.
Yes. All right, so you get out of the house, and I am going to suggest that we stop here because we will not finish this scenario completely, but next session we will definitely finish the scenario, and this is an interesting cliffhanger because we know Hughes is going out to his car, and there's a special jar on it, and Mason is waiting. And Randall typed me something privately, which just made things even more interesting. So I'm thinking finishing about 15 minutes earlier and giving it a proper cliffhanger, which makes it very likely all of you are going to show up in 2 weeks, too. But, yeah, we will finish the scenario one way or another, so make sure you're here. Yeah. We probably won't have all three of you for this, obviously, so if we don't get all three of you, we'll just push it forward 2 more weeks. But... yeah, we won't finish in the next 15 minutes, but we'll definitely finish in the next session because things have come to the end of the climactic third act.
Cool.
Oh, so good.
And yeah, there's actually two people now asking about number 9, and this is number 10.
Yeah.
Dying to know what Randall did.
Yeah, number 9 was posted an hour and a half ago.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I had uploaded nice. I had uploaded the audio, but I just blanked on actually posting it on the site. So
okay, cool.
That's where it really all started going pear shaped.
One can never have too many pear shaped events.
So good. Awesome, all guys. Right,
cool.
There was a lot of tension tonight.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Don't worry. There'll be more and then some next session.
Awesome. All right, guys.
Cool.
Look forward right, cool. to it.
Yeah. Have a good night, guys.
Good stuff, all guys. Right. Take it easy.
You too.
Bye.
Right. Bye.
Bye.